You said that they were shooting. What sort of guns were? Light.
Yes, light. Mm-hmm.
Were they on the rock or were they...
Oh, it was on the rock, yes. It was at the top of the rock. Mm-hmm. And I think at the side as well. There must have been some caves right at the top. But it was just a short burst, that's all. There was nothing more. Mm-hmm. And I was more fearful that we might get shrapnel coming down.
Did you?
Because there's nowhere to hide.
No. Did you get any coming down?
No.
And you mentioned these caves. Did you ever manage to get into any of the caves?
No,
on the rock?
We weren't allowed to. I knew that there was St. Michael's Cave there, but I was told, and I've written that up in here because it was something I forgot at the time. I was told that it was nearly like a city inside. There was accommodation, there was a hospital, and, they could, as it were, be like a stronghold against any attack. And there certainly was weapons available pointing out towards Spain. They expected it from there.
What they expected... enemy aircraft from Spain?
No, I think they expected that Spain would invite Germany to come through, take the rock, and I've heard since they hoped that the rock would be taken, and then when the war was over, it would be allocated then to Spain. But the Germans never took it up, I don't think.
Did you have any orders about what you would do if there were an attempt to invade the rock from the Spanish side?
No, nothing at all. The only other encounter I had with the Spanish was that, and probably you haven't got that far, was when we'd made up a little yacht. Well, it started off as a canoe. Yeah. And I think mention about the Catalina playing up and coming up towards the yacht and turning round and then accelerating his engines, blew me towards the coast, and I thought he was playing around when he came round again and did it again. And it grounded, and with that the Spanish police, all in their heavy coats with funny little cocked hats and with weapons, came down on the beach and tried to catch me. Yeah. And fortunately I had a chance to push off the canoe come yacht back into the water and paddle away.
So you got away?
I got away.
Yeah. And they didn't shoot at you?
Oh, no. Yeah. No, they didn't even issue a command. Yeah. If they had, I wouldn't have understood it, I don't think.
And the Catalina, was this a British Catalina?
Yes, there was quite a few. Mm. The early Catalinas were purely seaplanes. Mm. And they used to park in the middle of the bay. Mm. And before they took off, then of course there was there would be a small ship of some sort, and it would go along the path that aircraft was to fly, and make sure that there was no debris in its route,
clearing the way off.
And they always took off not towards Spain, but towards the opening out to the north, Atlantic.
Now, you were saying that on the 14th of February, 1943, you were issued with a rifle.
Yes.
Did you know what that was about?
No. The only time that I can think that I was offered a job, and that was when we were going back to Blighty, but I'm jumping ahead, but I'll do that if you want. We were on the SS New Aurelia. To go back home, and the ship was half full of Italian prisoners. Oh. And we had the back half of back half of the ship, and the front half of the ship was for the prisoners. We were kept apart, and yet we were entertained by the Italians. They sung every night, beautiful singers, and I enjoyed it.
This was February.
This rifle business, I'll get to that. That's where you started from.
Yeah.
And I was given a rifle and I was told to go to boat number 20, and in the event that the ship was torpedoed or whatever, then my job was to be the person in charge of 20 Italian prisoners. And I was given 5 rounds of ammunition, and that was and when we of course had these emergency checks, which was done a couple of times fairly early in the voyage, and well, there we were. I thought, well, if I drop to sleep in this boat, the first thing they'll do is toss me over the side.
Well, that would be assuming they wanted to escape.
Well, I assume that if they wanted to take command of the ship, yes, the lifeboat, yeah. But fortunately, we didn't have to do that. But I thought it was ridiculous.
Mm. It sounds more symbolic than real.
I think so. I think it was just that they might have been told something different.
Mm. Now, you've been discussing various pastimes in Gibraltar, sunbathing, for example, swimming. What kind of swimming were you doing? Were you just swimming for pleasure in the...
It was more one of my outlets for relaxation. And I'd spent, as I said, quite a lot of time on the beach. And this would be the Mediterranean side most of the time. And I was a good swimmer, so I did all sorts of things, crawl and backstroke and things like that, and even to just float, because the salt water is buoyant enough to make you do that. The only time I was tempted to go swimming was when the jellyfish came in, when the wind was blowing off the Mediterranean. The water would be very warm, but it was alive with trouble. And so sometimes I used to go down to the bay end, but if the tide was out, it was not suited. And of course you couldn't be on the extension, which was gradually being built, because there was a lot of activity, workmen and taking the blasted off rock from the north front face and being transported there and tipped. So the only time that we did get swimming there was when there was games of polo. Now there's like leagues of football and polo. Well, I was interested in that, and I was recruited. I didn't volunteer, I recruited to play in the back three of the water polo team. Now the water polo ring was on float rope, and this was to the right hand side of the runway, and it was in deep water. You're in about 10 foot of water, and so there was a risk of getting cramp because the water was much colder, and so there would be a rescue boat on the offside of the ring, and they would have the referees as well for, well, there'd only be one, but there was 2 people in it anyway. And you played a quarter of an hour either way, and there was a 5-minute break. Now, I didn't bother to get out of the water because I found it was colder to be out to come back in again. It was just tread water for most of the time. It was very strenuous. It's one of the strenuous games that I've ever played, and I enjoyed it, and not much benefit to the team, but there again, I enjoyed it.
I think you were also involved in teaching others to swim, weren't you?
Ah, now that was something entirely different. Somebody drew my attention that there was a notice on the board that everybody had to swim, and that at least they had to float. And we were invited, that anybody that was able to help those which were unable to swim or not interested at all. But the whole idea was that because some of the troopships were being sunk, then they wanted the anybody that got off the ship that were able to float around a bit, even if they hadn't got a jacket of Tord, you know, a buoyancy jacket, then they were able to stay there until a rescue boat could come. But the first priority of any of the convoy that was securing it was to go and attack the submarine first. And so you could well be in the water for some considerable time. But they only stipulated that they should be able to float for half an hour. Now that brings me to the actual swimming point. Now, two chaps linked on to me. One was my colleague, which was Tiny Smith, and the other one was Ron Wilcox. And they were absolutely fearful of water. And but there again, I gradually got them to use the legs, as it were. But you have to realise that there was a bit of a risk, because when you walked into the Mediterranean end, you had a nice sand gradual slope down, and then there would be a drop of about 2 foot, abrupt. There was no warning. You were either on your feet or you were off your feet. So it was a question of being very careful that they didn't get beyond that point, because I couldn't, and I only took one at a time. And I eventually I built up this sort of program. I said, now take a deep breath as full as you can, but only let about half of it go out. And whenever you're trying to float, take that sort of process. Breathe through your mouth and out through your nose. And so you take gasps, and eventually they realised that they could lay on the back, started them off on the back. If you did it on the front, they didn't like the face near the water. And it was a good while before I got even one of them to be able to take the courage to lift his feet off. So eventually I put my hand under his bottom and then gradually withdrew it. And I said, for goodness sake, move your legs, move your arms. And they eventually got off. And I did that with both of them. And I think any mother or father that has a child, they should do the same sort of thing in their bath upstairs.
Did they eventually become reasonable swimmers?
Yes.
Was it all a matter of confidence, essentially?
I think it was, because they eventually got pleasure out of swimming. Now, you won't have got to this section, but Tiny Smith... I haven't finished mine. Tiny Smith challenged me to dive down a well, but I'll leave that until you've read it.
Now, other things you were doing, I think, to relax. One was drawing. How did you start drawing?
The only thing I was good at school was drawing. And I asked my mother, I said, now, is there a possibility that I could go to the art school? Now, if you went to the art school, you had to pay. She said, I can't afford it. So it was something that I was able to do at school, roughly, not very good. I then took photographs of people, and I started to get outlines and build up from there. I did quite a number of them, never kept them, sent them to the person that I did it for. And the one you saw a photograph of the other day was one I sent from India, and it got marked.
Were you doing your drawing in pencil? Was that your medium?
Yes. If you're interested, I've got some in the loft.
Mm-hmm.
One is of a crashed aircraft in an elephant stable. And I was allocated to be on guard duty there. Another one was a... Anyway, I'll bring them down sometime, if you're interested.
How did you get your hands on materials for drawing? Were they
I asked my mother to send them. And one of the pictures that you see there is where my mother sent out some pen.